there, After Buzzers. Welcome to the Expanse After Show. We're talking Delta 5, Episode 7. So we have some reality filming on the Rocinante. What? Naomi and Drummer are back together on the Behemoth. We'll learn about that. We got the ring. What is it? And we have some special news and a guest. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Expanse After Show. Oh my gosh. So we're all going to be in a happy place right now because, I mean, we're going to talk about it later too, but the Expanse has been renewed.
Yay!
If you didn't know that, where have you been? But yes, Amazon Prime has picked up the Expanse, which we'll talk more about that later, but just wanted to let you know in case you didn't know. Some quick stuff right away. My name is Carrie Lane. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host,
Cherry Davis. Hey.
So right away, we're going to get into it. Our special guest is Bruce Pittman. And Cherry, who is this special guest we're talking to today?
He is a senior vice president and senior operating officer of the National Space Society.
Awesome.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
So first of all, what is your involvement with the Expanse and how did you get involved?
So basically, we put on a conference. We're a grassroots public interest organization about people that want to settle space. Our organization has existed for, you know, since 1987, and it resulted from a merger of two organizations. One of them was started by Wernher von Braun back in 74. So we have deep roots in this about people over the years that have wanted to live in space. And so now you have a television show that is all about people living in space. And so it seemed like a real natural. And we had we do an annual show every year, a conference, the International Space Development Conference, where we bring people all over the world. This year we're in L.A. And so when we were putting our program together, we invited some of the folks from the Expanse to participate, and they agreed. And we also had now their boss, Jeff Bezos, was here. And so the announcement about the Amazon Prime picking up the show was actually done at our conference with Jeff Bezos during a town hall meeting he was doing with us about his dreams about humanity moving out into space and millions, billions, and even trillions of people living and working throughout the solar system.
How was it being in the room at that moment? We've seen some video, but what was the energy like in the room when that announcement was made?
Oh, it was electric. It was, you know, this was the closest thing that I can come to is I was in Guadalajara 2 years ago when Elon made the announcement and showed the pictures of his big his interplanetary transport vehicle, you know, that he was going to use to go to Mars. And it was just like that. It was just, you know, hundreds of people just, you know, standing up and yelling and shouting and everything. There was a great joy in the room.
And you're a fan of the show.
I am.
Now, I watch it as a regular layperson, and sometimes I'm not sure. I know they have a scientific consultant coming on, so they have someone teaching them how to look like they're in space and how the sound waves would carry in space.
Well, sound waves don't carry
in space. Yeah.
I'm not a science-y person, but how they use are able to connect their helmets together to talk, and then how they use sound in the TV show to show the size of the spaceships to infer how big they are.
So how is it on your end as a professional in the field watching a show deal with outer space? How are you sitting there ever going, no, or are you more impressed with how well they capture it?
Well, as my wife will tell you, you never want to go watch a science fiction show with an aerospace engineer.
Nah.
But I have to give them a lot of credit for the attention to detail. So some of the things I do like, I thought that the zero-G work, the zero gravity work is very good. That's very hard to do here on Earth. It would be much easier if they could shoot the show up in space, and hopefully in the not too distant future, they'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
But that, and then the look and feel of the show. One of the things you see from a lot of the shows, and I was a big fan of Star Trek and Star Trek: The Next Generation. But you know, everything there was so new and so squeaky clean and everything. Where the in The Expanse, everything looks kind of lived in. I remember one of the early shows that the one of the characters sitting there on the bridge, and he looks over and there's a rat. And I thought, well, that really kind of gets you where the nitty meets the gritty. So I have to give them kudos. I think the production values of the show are pretty amazing for a regular TV show. I was really blown away the production quality and just the feel of it. It just seems so real. So I'm a big fan.
All right, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot. Are you a Earther, Belter, or Martian?
I'd have to say, you know, being a kind of a rebel at heart, I would call myself a Belter. I don't know where the gravity from Ceres comes from, but one of the things in my day job is we're actually trying to do some of these things, have developed the technology to go out and mine the moon, mine Mars, and mine the asteroids. So we're actually working on real live robots right now to go do that. So that's the other kind of really cool thing is there's people that are really going and trying very hard to make that real. And that was another thing. We were all hanging out together with the cast and the crew from The Expanse last night, and that was really kind of cool to see the people that are living this on TV and then the people that are trying to make this happen in real life in the same room, sharing the same kind of enthusiasm.
We have a couple of questions from the chat. Kirk Jacobson says, what do you think the first public accessible space construction will be? Lunar base, space station, or something else?
I'm a big fan of the lunar thing. You know, with the new administration, they've made a strategic decision. The president put out Space Policy Directive number 1 that says that we're going back to the moon. There was a briefing at our conference yesterday by one of the folks from NASA headquarters, and they will be a NASA solicitation that's supposed to come out this summer for commercial vendors to deliver payloads to the lunar surface, as soon as 2019.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And ABK88 says, what other sci-fi shows do you like besides The Expanse, of course?
You know, one of the problems I have is, you know, due to all the weird things like helping run the NSS, I don't get that that much time to watch television.
Sure.
But I do like I do kind of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's one that my wife and I kind of like to watch. That's got a little dark and dystopian, but we like the show. I kind of like the earlier ones better, but that would say I'd be one of my other favorites.
That one also dealt with outer space more recently. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Curly Toot says, "Is there something specific that you'd like to see them do on the show?
On The Expanse, is there something specific you would like to see them do?"
Hello?
That's a good question. I guess one of the things I'd like to do is, you know, because I all the way back to 2001, A Space Odyssey, I always wonder about this as an engineer. Mm. You know, it's like, how do the engines work? So, you know, I've watched them and some of the scenes where they've got these really high G maneuvers and they're putting in the mouthpieces and all that. And I was just wondering, how the heck do you get that much acceleration out in space without just totally blowing a total amount of mass? So that's one thing I would like to understand is, you know, just what's their thoughts behind how the propulsion system on the vehicles work. So, but that's the nerd in me.
Oh, no, it's really cool. Well, continuing the nerd, have you had a chance to read the books at all?
I have not, but that, you know, that's definitely on my list of things to do now. And I've heard that they're really great. And even if you watch the show, they say you should still read the books.
I concur. I've read the books, or I'm currently reading them. So yes, they don't overlap. They overlap enough that you have familiarity, but not that you're bored.
No, I'm looking. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I've been a science fiction fan. That's what got me back to this, you know, into this whole thing back when I was like 9 or 10 years old. There was a series of books when I was a kid called Tom Corbett Space Cadet, and I can still remember as a kid reading those and I was going, "That's what I want to do."
That's very cool. That so science really fiction got you to actually work in real space.
Yeah.
That is really cool. So, what's your what was one of your favorite childhood science fiction shows that really got you excited and want you to work in space?
I mean, I really liked the Star Trek: The Next Generation. I was very hopeful about, you know, Lost in Space, but that became kind of dorky, just kind of a fantasy. And actually, over the years, you know, Gene Roddenberry used to be on the board of our organization here. And so we got a chance to hang out with Gene and everything and Magil and talk about Star Trek stories. And he came by our school when I was in college and showed us his blooper reel and all that kind of. So I got to know Gene a little bit and some of the other cast members from the original Star Trek. And then I got to meet the folks from here's a really cool story. I was at a meeting. I was supposed to go to this one meeting in Washington, and I heard about they were going to do this special event where they were going to have the Mercury astronauts there. So I already had a tux with me to go to this other meeting, and I said, to hell with that. I'm going to go over to this other meeting. And so I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember this, but if you go look up in the archives, I'm sure you can see it. There was a guy named Bill Dana, and he used to have this comedy skit, and he would do Jose Jimenez, the astronaut. And, you know, who was afraid of heights and didn't like to go fast and was pretty wasn't the bravest. I don't think he had much of the right stuff. But they did this special thing, and they had all the remaining astronauts. You know, this was the 30th anniversary of Alan Shepard's suborbital flight in 91. And so they had the Bill Dana playing the astronaut, and then they had all the Mercury astronauts. John Glenn was there and Alan Shepard and, you know, you know, Gordo Cooper and all those guys that were still alive were there playing reporters, and they're reading these cue cards and they were trying to do this, and they're just cracking up and all this. And Bill Dana is trying to stay in character and not laugh and all that. And the tie back to science fiction is they had a whole bunch of the cast members from Star Trek: The Next Generation. John from Frakes was there. LeVar Burton, Gates McFadden. So a whole bunch of the folks from Star Trek: The Next Generation were there. So I got to go and get John Glenn's autograph and then, you know, Jonathan Frakes' autograph. So it was really one of the coolest nights of my life.
Oh, good
my
change, gosh, of
that'd
course.
Be awesome.
Real quick, another question. What has been one of your favorite moments while watching The Expanse where they do something realistic or maybe not that realistic, but while watching it, you personally are like, wow, that was really cool?
You know, I think one of the things that you know, gets me is that there really is some suspense in there. You know, with a lot of the shows, you kind of get the feeling that, yeah, they're going to make it and all that. But they really have some suspense on the show when, you know, they're running out of air or something like that. And you really get the feeling that they're worried and stuff like that. So I appreciate that kind of realism so that you can kind of get the feeling. You know, I've dealt in the space business long enough to know that space is pretty unforgiving and, you know, does not, you know, you can't make too many mistakes and come out of it okay. I worked on the space shuttle program, and we lost 2 space shuttles over the years, and all that. So I really appreciate that realism that, you know, bad stuff happens in space. Some good stuff happens in space, but some bad stuff happens, and you have to pay attention to details, and you need to work together.
Yeah. Any other? Oh, we got another question.
One last question from the chat. Michelle says, if you could explore space, would you want to stay in our solar system, or would you want to attempt a mission like the Nauvoo and travel to other stars?
I'm a homebody, so I would like to say I think that we have a pretty fascinating star system here, and we don't know much about it. So, my first mission was to Venus. You know, we sent a probe to Venus that I participated in. And so that was pretty cool. And I did some infrared astronomy work to look at using going to space to look at the rest of the universe. So I'd, probably hang around here. I think one of my friends is Alan Stern, who was the principal investigator on the New Horizon mission to Pluto. Might be kind of cool to go out and see some of the gas giants and the outer planets, but I think I'd stick close to home and stay in the solar system.
Well, from the show, Venus might not be that safe a place, though, anymore.
Nothing's perfect.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. Where can people find out more about you, your organization, and any other space programs you could recommend to the common person out there?
So if you want to go to find out more about the NSS, if you go to space.nss.org, we have a really cool new website, and there's a lot of information there. If you want to know about space settlement or space solar power or some of the history of the space program, we have like thousands of pages of context there for people, and it's all free and all that. We do a quarterly magazine called Ad Astra that we have some really cool articles and all that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of really interesting information out there. And like I said, we are a grassroots. You don't have to be an engineer to join and participate in this. Most of the people that belong to the organization are not engineers or scientists, but some of us are weird, and we are.
Hey, no problem.
We would encourage everybody to take a look and see if this might be something that's interesting to you.
Cool. Thank you so much. And that's super interesting. I like the actual practical aspect of, it's not just this distant concept, mm-hmm. It's like a thing that's actually happening now that you could participate in.
Yes. Very exciting. Thank you so much, Brad. Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. You're welcome. Thank you so much for talking with us about The Expanse. It's a show we love. And now we get to dive into the episode and break it down. It's a fun one.
Yes,
I look forward to seeing it.
All right. Thanks for talking with us.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, huge thank you to Bruce Pittman talking about actual real outer space and the real practicalities of it, which I do love how much the show combines that and makes space is real and dangerous. It's not just like, yeah, we're fine. All right, guys. So that was really cool learning about their real programs going on. And now let's dive into episode 7, Delta 5. Oh my goodness, so much happened on this episode. We're going to blaze through it. So very beginning, we got Voss Vorala. She's giving like an address. We've covered that Secretary Gillis has resigned. Oh my goodness. Okay, that was kind of cool. Aaron Wright's arrested, and we must choose peace and be one people because, there is now the ring.
The ring.
So we've talked about it a little bit before. I'm currently reading the books, and now we are now getting into book 3. Mm-hmm. Which is cool because Anna, we met earlier, she didn't show up till now. When we see that ship, that's when she first comes up. So real quick, we got another little thing to tell you guys about.
Well, I want to remind everybody about Conversations with Maria Menounos. It features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's free. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know that it was us, the Expanse After Show, that sent you there.
Nice. So back to, we have, so now it's book 3. So if you guys are reading it or interested in reading it, this is when a lot of this starts to go down. The ring, do you have any thoughts on what it is?
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. It looked like a pretty blue thing. And I was like, well, maybe it's not harmful. Maybe it's to go from one end of the universe to another. And then surprise,
Please, we do have a live chat going on, which we tapped into a little bit during the during our phone call, which thank you so much for those of you joining. If you're watching this later, no problem. Please comment down below your thoughts on the episode. What do you think the ring is? And if you're reading the book like me, no spoilers. Don't get ahead of everybody. So we meet the YQ and Neo Manejo Espinoza, who is doing this course. He's doing the slingshot around to travel fast. And we learn through kind of like him, there's these news broadcasts. One, people are assembling to go to the ring.
Yes.
So weird thing out in outer space. Let's all go get close to it and go look at it.
They have to investigate. Yeah. They have to see what's going on. They know it has something
like,
to do with...
Be far away and poke it. Like, really far away. I don't want to go look at it.
The Marines were looking at it with this their technology, true. But, you know...
Don't fly into it. Which
he was useful for a little bit of scientific experimentation.
Holt, we find out that Dawes and Fred are pairing up and looking into it. Holden is going there. And what were some other news ones, too? The UN fleet, everybody's kind of going there.
Yes.
And it's been about 187 days since it was formed. We don't really know anything about it at this point. So back to our Neo guy. He gets a message from his girlfriend, but she's hooked up with the brother because he's gone all the time. And he's like, well, I'm going to go through the ring. How many people expected this was going to be a good plan or bad plan? Because you can't tell at the beginning. You're just like, sure, yes.
So Placid Dragon and I kind of agree. The ring could be a teleporting device. The book title Abaddon's Gate also suggests something along those lines. Yeah. But at this point, who knows, needs more info. I thought it was going to be like a transportation thing.
Sure.
But maybe it's just transportation from one side for the overlords or the whoever's controlling to come through to our side.
Yeah.
Because... I thought they said it was they transformed the Eros, took the Arbogast.
The Arbogast part, yeah.
And then made it into the ring somehow.
Yeah.
And you could sort of see something on the other side doing something.
Well, that's the
question. I'm not science, Jim. Not science.
The book, I'm trying to remember. It's funny. I like just started reading this. I'm already like, there's so many details that I'm like, wait. His story goes by pretty quickly, and that's more the very beginning of the book. Mm-hmm. And then we also get into what starts in the beginning of the book, that Holden and the Rocinante crew have subjected themselves to being essentially in a reality documentary because they'll pay their legal fees.
Amos is not about that life.
Nope.
And I totally loved how first the woman was like, hey, and he's like, no. And then the guy was like, well, you don't like her, what? And he's like, no. No means no.
Yes.
I do not.
Consent is sexy.
Where I eat.
Yeah.
Or in the galley, so no. We're on a ship, so no.
Yeah. And they're kind of asking him, well, why are you going to the ring? And Holden's kind of like, well, it's there. And they're like trying to make a living. That's what they do. They're checking it out. We learn that, well, wait, where's Naomi? And if you guys don't follow her, Dominic Tipper, on social media, you should. She did this great video showing the new Belter tattoo, her new hairdo. Looks super cool. Love the purple in there. Do you guys like her new look? Leave comments down below.
Love her. She's adorable.
So this is a little bit different. She doesn't leave the group this way in the book, as I recall.
Oh, she doesn't?
I'm like, no. It's a different character who's doing what she's doing, so it makes sense that they're having her do it for you. Like, she's our vehicle over. Don't worry, guys. I won't do any sort of spoiler things about the book. Just more like, oh, well, that's different. But it made sense when I was watching it because I need to, like, go back and reread this bit. But I think it was somebody else, but it's easier for us to identify with her, and then we get Drummer back and everything.
And Naomi is Belter loyal, so I would expect her to go back while they're forming the new government.
Exactly.
And being equal to Earth and to Mars.
She's just leave of absence right now. The OPA's Behemoth, so which was built by the Mormons. We learn about the pixie drug, which that also is a big thing in the book. And the idea is like, well, everybody's doing their drugs, whatever. But if it impairs what you're doing, that's where it's from, or affects other people, which you're on a ship. Your life is, like, in danger, and you can't kill other people. That's going to be a big problem.
Don't drink and drive, and don't drink in space. So,
exactly. Hey. So we had Drummer, yay, which I just said. And then we meet Klaus Ashford, which I love the actor choice for this, because in reading it, I wasn't really getting a look to him.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I saw this actor, I was like, oh, it's okay, I have... This is a great thing with reading it and watching it, guys. Like, it's like a forward, backward, everything builds upon each other, symbiotic relationship. Because now with the book, I'm like, oh, yes, he is much more fleshed out for me as the reader. So, oh, love that guy.
He's going to be spitting vinegar because when he asked for permission, he was being condescending. And then that little speech, it's about politics and perception.
Yes.
That was condescending and being sexist towards her to try and demean her self-confidence.
She gets, almost he gets like all she was up in her face, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
He doesn't know Drummer. She will knock him out.
Oh, no. I feel they have history.
They do seem to have. He
they
did
do
because
he's
things.
Like, oh, you've grown up and like you've done well for yourself. And then she's like, yeah, you too. What do we think of this relationship? Do they have like history together? I don't think so.
No.
But they probably worked together in the past for sure.
I think he was her manager or something. Yeah. And he was trying to remind her that
we see
he was
Harari
her boss.
Again, which we saw him. This is one of those that I'm like, that was the dude who was on the ship with Miller and was kind of a little bit of a snot. But I don't remember
but
what
he
did
kid.
That was bad.
He kind of took, he was spying for the OSA.
Thank you. So the OPA, though.
Oh, OPA.
OPA, they've been giving him amnesty, so he's fine, which they're not really happy about. But Harari is kind of speaking up. He's a lieutenant, and he's trying to be a little bit of a prick. But this is, though, where I kind of had a feel for Ashford that I'm like, okay, Ashford puts him in his place and is like, you need to respect Naomi. That is Naomi Nagata. Like, you watch your mouth, young man. And also, drummer, she is your captain. So I was like, okay, do we trust Ashford? Do we? Mm-hmm. Comment down below, please. Let us know your thoughts. I think we can. There's a lot going on, but I trust him. Sort of.
Placid Dragon says Ashford was fantastic, non-book reader perspective. Mm-hmm. He does say he remembers him from the Bourne movies, but he was awesome in the Bourne movies, but he's not playing the same character in this.
No, he's
and
super
he even
different.
Looks different in it. So
and
I was really
voice?
Pleased. Yeah.
Oh.
It's really good.
Also, anybody else notice Naomi's accent's thicker now? She has a more belter accent.
She's
it makes
with
sense.
Her people.
Exactly.
She's trying to sound upper class or whatever when she was like the Martians and the Earthers.
We meet. Essentially, it's a person in a way. The ship. We meet the Thomas Prince, which has Anna, and meets a gentleman who we don't really, he doesn't get a name. Like, he's not named. I mean, some of these people, yes, they have names. But in the interaction, there's no, like, so who are you? They have the discussion of, yeah, is it life form or technology? I want to go, it's a combination of both.
Yes.
I feel the protomolecule is essentially life form, but is technology at the same time. But he's like, are you part of the godly contingent?
Yes.
So they do this really briefly at the beginning. So the Thomas Prince is a gathering of religious figures, and that's how we first meet Anna, and that's mm-hmm. how she gets involved. But I did like her brought in sooner. That was super mm-hmm. cool for us to get to know this character. And they're going out to the ring, essentially, to study it, but they also, you know, you want the science perspective and the religion perspective, or help give reason to all the people on Earth and Mars and Belters, like what's going on out there. So that's
I also
what,
think
that's
she
that.
Was there also as a speech writer, able to communicate ideas and write them in a way that would bring humans together from Mars, Earth, as well as the Belters,
she could
as opposed
help with
to
that.
Like
yeah.
writing it more scientifically.
Yeah. Alex with the film crew, they're kind of like, so about your family? And they are digging in. Those documentary people asking those questions. Oh, yes. And how you said Amos not having it. So many questions deflecting. Baltimore, we get a reference of that.
Yeah.
No records on him.
Nowhere.
Won the apprentice lottery. But there's a mob boss with the same name.
He had to get out of Baltimore.
But he destroys that drone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He let them know I'm not the one for that.
So yeah, they turn, I like though how she tries to come on to him, like you said, and then he's like, no. A lot of, getting ahead to it, but yeah, when the camera guy comes on to him too, a lot of people on Twitter are like, they made a pass at Amos, and I do like how, James S. Corey account on Twitter is like, of course anybody would make a pass at Amos. Have you looked at him?
Amos is gorgeous.
So it's one of those totally made sense. Also, if you were a gentleman of that persuasion, if you've heard he got that the female got turned down, you might go, maybe I have a chance. I thought it was handled really well. And I like that Amos wasn't weird about it.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't like, ew, get off me. Or like, no, he's just like, no, I'm not in my work environment. Which would probably lead to him not totally digging Naomi and Holden being in a relationship on the ship. Because obviously, when they have mm-hmm. a fallout, it doesn't work well.
Yes. That's why he didn't like it at first.
Yeah.
And Monica and her second command, whatever it was, were trying to manipulate him anyway. And he's done with being manipulated by people.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He's over that.
So the behemoth, what was that? Yeah, they're just doing kind of repairs. That was that. So we have the momentary to Grigori. There's the attack with Ashford. And he's like, yeah, we used to work together. But then he has a conversation with Ashford and Drummer and talking about Dawes. Like, Dawes asks, how's your stomach? That is that power play one you mentioned of, like, politics perception. And we learned that Dawes has the Cortazar. which is like, that's when they got tension. And man, he does not understand personal space. And he's like inches from her face, but she does not lose ground.
No, she's not girl. Back down. No.
Yes.
Woman power.
Quick moment. We have the guy who bought the drugs that Naomi saw.
Yes.
Dies.
Yes.
And she didn't say anything when that happens. But we learn later, that's when she goes, where did she come back? Yep. Nope, that was, she goes back and talks about it because she's just like, oh, sorry. The skiff pilot, and they're like, well, there's black market going aboard, but Drummer's like, well, yeah, to every kind of ship like this. But is like, well, who's the dealer? So then they go down that way. Rewinding Plus, a hair. Yes.
Jacken says Amos had no problem with them together. Back in season two, I think it was, both Amos and Alex knew before they announced it. Yes, but there's that little jealousy thing that he had. But it wasn't like a sexual jealousy. It was more like she was his friend.
Attention and
he was
jealousy. Dealing.
Yeah.
True. He wasn't upset with it, but I think he probably was judgmental because it's one of those things, if you have a relationship with someone at work, if that goes bad, you work together. And it did. So, you know. So then we get the MCRN ship, I'm not sure how you say it, but we get Bobby. And Alex and Bobby kind of having that conversation. Mm-hmm. Bobby looked in on his family. Talisa wants a divorce.
Yeah.
But Bobby is glad to be a Marine again. And it's just kind of this sweet little phone call. Now, another line that people on Twitter were jumping on, which, pun intended with this too. She's like, you can fly me anytime.
Yes.
A lot of people are like, whoa, hey, what is she talking about? Going a little more innuendo. I don't think so either.
I think they were flirting.
Or I don't think so.
I think they've been flirting. And when the wife didn't like her because, A, she detected something. And she also slickly asked Alex, how do you feel about that divorce?
That's true.
Player on, girl. Get your man.
I feel Bobby and Alex have had some flirting. But yes. I think when she did say that you could fly me anytime, I do think she meant it as I respect you, your skills, and you as a Marine Martian pilot. So, but it was very flirty. Do you guys think? Please comment down below. How much were Alex and Bobby flirting? They have cute flirting, but it was all on camera too for the reality show.
Suzette M says, you can fly me anytime. Shoot your shot, Bobby. Yes. What?
Yes. Go, Bobby. Anna, we get a moment quick with her. Her wife is like, I need you to come home. I miss you. But their church is getting donations while she's gone. It's like, it's sad. It's hard. So, interesting character who I totally know who it is, and I'm not going to tell you. And if you know, do not say anything, because it's a cool reveal. So that we get another skiff pilot. We meet Melba. Do you have a theory on who she is? I'm going to try my best poker face.
Melba, I don't know what nefarious trouble she was up to, but she took that pill. And at first I thought maybe she's some sort of a hybrid or something. Mm-hmm. But it seems like her and the videographer person, they're working for someone. I'm not sure who they're working for, but I think they're working together.
Interesting.
Planning nefarious behavior.
Interesting. So she's doing some yard. She's working for Savage Industries. She does not like Holden. So that's interesting. She's like,
Holden.
What? Come on.
Come on, please.
They're on this support ship and she is working with explosives, which she has the gentleman when she goes to look. So yeah, let's get back to that bit. Oh.
Suzette M says, is Melba OPA?
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, if you know, no spoilers, please, because it's a great reveal when we get that. Did someone say a spoiler?
ABK says she thinks she's with Mal, but Mal's in jail, so he's done. He's gone.
We'll come back to that thing. So we got Amos and Cameron. We already talked about that. Oh, we know that Prax and May are quote unquote safe on Ganymede. He misses him, which is like, yeah, he was his buddy and it was his BFF.
His first real friend.
Yeah.
Like a real friend.
So Kamina Drummer, which I do like that she's being called Kamina as well. I like Drummer too, but goes very public against the drugs.
Yes.
Is like, I'm going to space them. But Ashford is like, whoa, hit the brakes. We need to act with greatness and be more civilized. And they have their kind of power struggle too. And he's like, yeah, that's what our captain wants. What do you think? Did he overstep himself? Cherry, do you think he overstepped his
I think he overstepped his position on the ship, mm-hmm. but he was correct because they're no longer pirates and they're just mm-hmm. doing whatever. Mm-hmm. They're part of they're organizing as a government, and as a government, yep. you can't just randomly space people without at least giving them some sort of a trial. I mean, I don't know what's going on in the future, but I assume they have trials. Yeah.
I do like that she could do it as a threat and be like, okay, we're not really doing that as the first one, because obviously they can't do that again. Please leave your comments down below. Did he overstep? Is this working out? Where do we think this is going? So Drummer and Ashford, they're having their moments. They're going to collect the drugs, but she's like, but this is not who we are. It's you who you have to become, which is essentially what he asked Naomi. He's like, do you think this is who we should be? And asks her why she's there. And she points out, well, this is the time for Belters to stand up, which I think she's right in that. They need to claim their own. But he makes a great point. Well, you need to go tell that to Drummer. Do we think Drummer's going to listen to her?
I think Drummer is used to going on her own mm-hmm. path and making decisions on her own yeah. because she was a spy for a minute.
Yeah.
But I think she does have the Belters' heart. Her heart is in the best way for the yeah. Belters. Mm-hmm. It's just that she may not go in the right way because she isn't yeah. really a politician.
Yeah. It's hard. So yeah, the gentleman who said he went back for his flask. Okay, so the thing, they'll explain it more later, but I'll let you know, it's actually a tooth in her mouth that she can bite down on, and it releases essentially like superpowers. That's super in a nutshell, but essentially makes her super strong for a very short period of time. And as we saw, she kind of passes out, but she kills the guy because he saw it. So who is this lady? What is that? Why does she have that? And what was she doing with the bomb? Da, da, da. Don't look for the answers because you're probably going to get spoilers and don't do spoilers. Holden has the moment back at the reality show. We trust each other. But then she's like, you are all liars. And, you know, why are you out here and who you really are? But he does not fall for the ruffling of the feathers. He's like, no. But he's just so chill. He's like, nope. But I'm super suspicious. The camera guy's like, yeah, I'm going to run diagnostics on my drone, and goes and looks at other stuff. So I don't trust him. The interviewer, I'm like, maybe not. But him, I was like, what is he mm-hmm. doing? All right. And then the last two crazy things. We have one, the Hammurabi is like, whoa, to that ship, you got to back up. That was our gentleman we met at the beginning. That was all. He's like,
bless you.
Excuse me, I knew a sneeze was coming there. He's like, I'm going to make history. They're telling him to stop. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So in the book, it's kind of fun and scary because he's like, don't shoot me, man. And like, it's drawn out a little bit. And yeah, that was glorious blood,
that
guts,
was
and
crazy.
Awesome. Wow. That's even better than I visualized it happening. I'll hold till next time to see if they explain why that happened. Because they do break down why that happened the way it did. Like, what it was. Please leave your comments down below why you think when he hit the ring, his body did that. Visually, that's a very good cue why that happened. Please leave your comments on that. And then the last cray-cray thing real quick. And then, is he crazy? Holden sees Miller. What? So we don't have time for predictions. We've been making theories along the way. Real quick, too, make sure to go over on iTunes, rate, like, and subscribe on that. Give us 5 stars because, you know, 1 through 4 don't work. Leave comments what you like about the show and any other topics you want us to be covering. Any other final thoughts or 1 or 2, what do you think is going to go down?
No, craziness. It's
craziness is going down, yes. Yeah, there's so much that we don't know yet. I'm so excited to see how it comes, and I can't make predictions because I already know a little bit. But this is a great moment where the show and the book are, like, aligning more. So thank you so much for tuning in. Again, thank you to Bruce Pittman calling in earlier, yes. talking about real outer space going on. And thank you to everybody who joined us in the live chat and asked questions. Really helps us, and we love hearing your thoughts on the show. Comment down below if you weren't able to join us in the live chat. We want to know more on your thoughts. Cherry, where can people find you online?
You can find me, Cherry_LA, on Twitter and Instagram.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us on this adventure, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.